Welcome to Lighthouse Chapel International, Columbus, Ohio. We invite you to discover the life-changing anointed word of God as you listen to this message by Reverend Gilbert Asamoah. Reverend Gilbert Asamoah is a well-seasoned minister who serves as the General Overseer of the Rackham Diocese in Lighthouse Chapel International, USA. Founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills, with over 1,800 branches worldwide. Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Take a moment, be quiet before the Lord. I want you to focus 100% on God. Forget about all your problems. Forget about everything that is on your mind. Just for a moment, acknowledge God. Acknowledge Him as the supreme ruler over the whole universe. Acknowledge Him, focus your eyes on Him. For we have gathered not unto ourselves or to anything, we have gathered unto the great God Jehovah. I want you to worship Him. I want you to tell Him that you love Him. I want you to tell Him that you believe in Him. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy, for your loving kindness, and for your big arms that are broad and big enough to wrap around all of us. That no one is left out. That your love touches all of us. And it is your love that our souls feed on. And it makes us whole. It is your love that our souls feed on. That it heals us. It heals our minds. It heals our hearts. We choose to focus on your love. And to tell you we appreciate you. We love you. And we do not take it for granted. The extent to which you go to bring us in under the shadow of your protection. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. And you are all welcome to our Sunday morning service, the second day in the series, honoring your spiritual father. But as we do always, we are going to start with Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. You just need to think King James. And you can say this very easily. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In today's English, you will say who strengthens me. But in the King James, which strengtheneth me. And that is it. That's your scripture for the week. Hallelujah. So let's go. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. Amen. I think this one is easy. Who can say it? This is not a good time to scratch your head because I would think you are trying to answer it. Who can say it? Can we remove it? I think it's easy. Sister Eunice. Philippians 4:13. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank the Lord. Brother Festus. Amen. Philippians 4:13. That's powerful. So now it's even. Male, female is even. All right. So you ought not to be overwhelmed with anything. Hallelujah. Every time you are becoming overwhelmed with anything, remember this scripture. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because you see, the scripture says in 1 John, I think verse 4, one of the two, it says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right. Hallelujah. So if Christ is in you and he's the greater one, the big question is, what is he doing in there? He must be there to strengthen you. He must be there to make a difference in your life. Is that not so?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if you have any strength that you are not using, it's a waste. Amen. I mean, you've been working out for the past 6 months. Now the time has come. We need to move this wardrobe from second floor to the basement. That's when your strength is needed. Amen. At that moment, if you say you can't help, then we have to cancel your gym registration. Hallelujah. The strength you've been acquiring must make a difference. And the strength of Christ living in you is he strengthens you to be able to do all things.
Amen.
So that, you see, it gives a certain confidence in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because how many know that we all come to situations where it seems higher than you? It's like, it's impossible. It's like, you don't include yourself in the things that people are doing. But God has not left you alone.
Amen.
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 So we are going to continue on our series, Honoring Your Spiritual Father. Amen. Last week, I talked about how there are some things that are secret things that if somebody does not show you, you may not know. Amen. And don't make yourself, what do they call it? A jack of all trades. Like you think you know all things, but you must accept and acknowledge that there are some things you don't know.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And like I told you, while one of our members traveled to a certain country, he went to a museum and was taking pictures, and he was arrested. Next thing you know, his bishop got a phone call that your man is in jail. Amen. It's not everywhere they take pictures. So also, there are certain spiritual realities and truths that you need to be told. Amen.
Amen.
When you come into this country, for instance, the people you meet really do make a difference as to what you become. Like, if you don't meet the right people to point you in the right direction, you could end up at the wrong place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
So in life, in the journey of life, you know, you meet so many people. And pray that you meet a good person.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pray that you meet a good person. If you don't meet a good person, you could be in trouble. You know, one day I got off a train station. I was on my way home to West Jersey Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And then there was a lady who was dressed in a certain interesting way, approached me, and she said, "It looks like you're looking for a lot of something." You see, looking for a lot of something. And the way she was walking, the way she was making herself, I immediately knew what she was about. I said, "Lady, I'm not looking for a lot of something." Amen. I don't remember whether I was married or I was single. But even as single, if I'm looking for a lot of something, that will not be what I'll be looking for. Hallelujah. But if you meet a bad person, you see, some of you brothers, you think you are very strong. You haven't met a strange woman before. One brother, he said he was also at a bus stop. And, you know, this lady came to sit by him. And a conversation started. And, you know, this brother is a Holy Ghost, you know, spirit-filled, tongue-speaking brother, clean-shaven, white-shirt type of brother. And as the conversation went, you know, he's not trying to rob the lady. You understand? He's trying to witness to the lady. And before you know, the lady has put her hand on his thigh.
Hey, hey,
a stranger.
Run.
This is a classic strange woman. Amen. And then the brother told the story himself. He said that, "I started feeling a certain electricity." You see, all your scriptures can disappear in such an environment. All your scriptures can disappear. You see, and also if the person puts their hand on your thigh, you know, there are places and there are places. It's not, so as you see, maybe it's by mistake. Like if you're in a bus, for instance, sometimes there can be, exactly. So somebody's hand can. But this one is a deliberate something. And then it's like the thing started moving. And the brother said he stood up like this. Amen. Look, you may be very strong, but if you don't meet the right person in life, if you don't meet the right person in life, you could be totally offbeat, off track. Hallelujah. And we have different types of fathers. Do you understand? There are different types of fathers. And of course, the obvious one is your biological father. Is that not so?
Right.
You know, the person whose seed produced you. You look at the book of Chronicles. It starts with Adam, Seth, all the way to the 10th generation. Then it begins to give a breakdown of the human family. You come to Noah. You know, what are the three sons of Noah? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Hallelujah. All of us descended from these three. You see that the seed, the biological seed is very important. The person who produced the seed that made you, your father, is very important. Do you know that? Do you know that it is your father who determines your sex, your gender? Yes, it comes from your father because the female chromosome is two X's. So it doesn't matter. You know, it's going to be one of the X that will be released. So the man who has XY chromosome, the one that is released, that determines your gender. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? So your biological father is one type of father. Of course, you know, we have to start from the top. Your heavenly father, is that not so? That's God, your heavenly father. And then you also have your father in Christ. You can have somebody who is a father in Christ. This father in Christ is actually gender neutral because it can also be a mother in Christ. Do you understand? The person who led you to Christ, the person who helped you pray the prayer of salvation, that person is very important. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Then you have your father in ministry. Your father in ministry is the person who birthed you into the ministry. Because as I'm standing here, for instance, I mean, I've been interested in the things of God, but I've been running away from it for a long time. Amen. It was not my plan to be a pastor. In fact, when I was in a sixth form and they wanted to make me a Christian leader, I protested. I protested and I said, they said, the Lord said it must be you. I said, no, the Lord has not spoken to me himself. I tried to dodge it. Amen. Are you listening to me? But then it was when I came to Lighthouse Chapel that I was groomed and introduced that, oh, you can be working in your whatever, but you can still do the work of God. So then I was birthed into the ministry here in this lighthouse. Are you there?
Yeah.
You know, Reverend Osai, Bishop Doug, and Apostle Joel, these three are the ones who are my fathers in ministry. Are you following?
Yeah,
everybody will have a person who can see potential in you. You know, I was not even in the church for a long time, and they say, we are having a shepherd's meeting, I want you to sit in. Do you understand? Somebody has to find you. Otherwise, how would you be where you are? So you have who? Your heavenly father. You have your, who else? Your biological father. And who else?
Spiritual
father. Hallelujah. Your father in ministry. That's right. Your spiritual father. You can also have a substitute father. In many instances, you know, your biological father, you know, either they passed away or maybe they did not even accept you as your child. And somebody else had to step in. Do you understand? Or maybe your mother moved away somewhere with you and then your mother remarried. I mean, or sometimes somebody who is not even related to you in any way, but there could be a situation where he just steps in and realizes that there is no father figure in your life. And he begins to play that role. Hallelujah. When I was growing up, we had a neighbor who used to abuse. Can't give too many details because people are listening to the podcast. But there was a situation where my father had to step in. Amen. Well, a young lady who was always running away because of beatings. And so my father had to step in and rescue her. Eventually, she actually, you know, became part of our family and came to live with us. So for her, my father became a substitute father. Amen. The reality of the matter is that the world has come under the curse. The world has come under the imperfections of the fall of Adam. So no single father that we have mentioned is able to fulfill all these roles perfectly. So you see that there's a relay of fathers. Do you understand? It's a relay. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Like in a relay race, somebody starts and then somebody hands over to another one and it keeps on continuing. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
But But you see, not all fathers are good fathers. There is something called father in sin. Amen. Remember I said that the person you meet can be your demise. Can be the person. So sometimes you can meet some of you who want to boarding school. Sometimes you are a very good boy in the house. But you want to boarding school, you met a very wicked boy, senior. Your father in sin is the one who baptizes you into sins. Certain things. Amen. Baptizes you because there are some people who are just like they are trained and experts in evil. Yeah. And pray that you don't meet a father in sin. And pray that your children don't meet a father in sin. Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you there?
Yeah.
A young lady, if you don't take care, you meet a father in sin. It's like a very early age. Then you have been baptized into all kinds of evil. Yeah. But you see, there are people also that you meet that become a very important blessing to you because of the contribution they make to your life. Are you listening to me? One of these is your spiritual father. Amen. That's why we are talking about it. Because you see, one of the keys, and this is across the board for every profession or every endeavor, one of the keys of success is the ability to notice distinctions, to be able to tell differences. Hallelujah. You can't jumble all things into one. You must know that. That's why how you pass your exams. Because when the question comes this way, you must be able to tell, no, this one, it looks like this one, but it's not the same. Hallelujah. Your ability to tell this. That's why from early childhood, they begin to tell children differences in color. Is that not so?
Yeah.
Differences in color and differences in shape. Your ability to notice distinctions is a key to success. And so as you are talking about different types of colors, fathers, you must know different types of people that God brings into your life. And don't jumble all of it into one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you jumble all people that you deal with into one, you'll be making a mistake. Because somebody could be a father to you, but you're relating to the person as a friend. Amen.
Amen.
I know one brother, when he started the church, he had a roommate. And his roommate was like, you know, more like a peer. They all went to college together. Amen. So, you know how it is. It's not easy for you to receive from your roommate. You both did all silly things and now he says he's a pastor. Do you understand? So, it took a while that the roommate, he struggled a little bit in receiving this person as a father. But at a point, there was a switch. Now, look, this person may be my roommate. This may be my friend. But he's a spiritual leader now. Somebody who is holding the oracles of God. You see, God was upset with Esau because Esau, he disregarded the spiritual gift of being the eldest. He exchanged something spiritual for something temporal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
God called Esau profane. Esau was called profane because he exchanged the sacred gift of God. And rather exchanging for food that he's eating today. It's like a lot of things you must be able to tell differences. Look at the thief on the cross. Two thieves and Jesus. Jesus in the middle. Now, if you know a bit about Jewish history in the Roman era around the first century AD, you will notice that they were killing, crucifixion was rampant. Amen. So on the day Jesus was crucified, if it wasn't for the supernatural signs and things that were happening, it could have looked like any other day. Amen. Are you following?
Yeah.
So, when Jesus was, the Bible says he was counted among the transgressors. The Holy One of God, God Almighty, appeared in the flesh. It's now being, he has received capital punishment along with two thieves who, whatever they did, stealing often comes with lying. Amen. And then many other evils. So these people deserved, but then Jesus has been counted together with them. So it's very easy. I mean, if you are passing, if you are in Jerusalem, you have never attended Jesus' healing campaign or Jesus' preaching before. As he's standing, hanging there, he looks exactly like the other people. So as people are insulting him, you know, the Bible said they were rolling their tongue, rolling their eyes, and insulting him. You could easily join in and also add your voice to it. Not knowing that you are insulting the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
But the wise would always be careful before they speak. And the wise are the ones who are able to make distinctions. To be able to make distinctions among things. Like even sometimes in math, they give you a problem. Didn't you love the problem questions? Where it's not like an equation. They've given you a passage. Mathematics too is like English. They've given you a whole passage. You have to read the passage and decipher how to reduce the passage into an equation. That's where it separates the men from the boys. Amen. Your ability to tell, is this a quadratic equation? Is this something I have to use logarithms? Do you understand? You have to now cosine. Are you listening to me? So when it comes to people, you must be very careful how to relate with people. And that is why we are spending time honoring Bishop Doug, because we think he's unique. He's somebody who God has uniquely used to bless all of us. Amen. Amen. And you see, sometimes you need to meet somebody who will point your attention to something. Because you can be on a road and you don't know that you are going offbeat, off track. That's why I'm here. That in our church, Bishop Doug is a very simple man. You know, if he travels somewhere, he likes to be with his people. So even he doesn't like being treated specially, being sent to this hotel. I mean, sometimes people have to actively and seriously consider and do that for him. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? So all that we are doing about honoring your spiritual father campaign is not because that's what he wants or he wants. No, it is for our benefit, because in the Bible, if you honor the man of God, if you honor the prophet, you will not lose your prophet's reward. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following what we are saying? So let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 1. We are taking time to explain, because unless it is explained to you, you wouldn't understand. John chapter 1 and from verse 14 to verse 17. One day I went to Ghana. I was on my way to the airport. I think I was leaving. And the person taking me to the airport began to speak. And he began to speak about certain men of God in Ghana. Do you understand? And he began to say certain negative things. I said, my friend, I want to go to the airport safe. Amen. Amen. Because maybe he has heard some people saying some things about that man of God. And so he too is saying some. Look, be very careful. Because people who hold the sacred oracles of God, there is a special honor upon their lives. Hallelujah. And what we need to do is to pray for them and honor them. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So this John is John the Baptist. He is testifying about Jesus. Do you understand? John, and of his fullness, he's talking about Jesus, of the fullness of Jesus. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Of the fullness of Jesus we have all received. That's what John is saying. That sometimes God can start something with someone. Please understand that before John started prophesying, there had been a 400 or so years when God was silent. Amen. Amen. From Malachi to Matthew, over 400 years, that there had not been a prophet, there had not been a seer, there had not been anyone sent from God. The people of Israel, they had come under Greek rule, they had come under the rule of Persia, they come under the rule of Babylon, and now they are under Roman rule. Amen. Amen. And no one, they don't have a prophet or somebody that God has sent me to bring them. It's 400 years. And then God allows a woman called Elizabeth, who was elderly, to have a baby. His name was John. And he began to baptize. And he began to speak to the people about repenting. Are you listening to me? Amen. So I want you to understand that when John began to speak, he was a very important person. He was like, it's like if you have not seen something for a long time and you see one, it's like very dear and pricey. Are you there? So John could have taken the opportunity and, you know, made himself great, because here's a case that people were living all over the place to come to the Jordan to be baptized. This is a chance for me to also, you know, bank on, a chance to dig in and start my own international ministry of John the Baptist Baptism International. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But John the Baptist knew who he was. He said, look, me, I am nothing. Do you get it? He said, I am only a messenger. The people, the Jewish elders sent people from Jerusalem. Go and ask him, are you Elijah? Because the Bible says Elijah, or somebody in the spirit of Elijah will come again. Are you the prophet? Are you the Messiah? He said, I'm not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. Then they said, who are you? You must tell us something. We can go and tell the people who sent us. He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Amen.
Make straight the path of the Lord. Are you there? This is what John the Baptist is doing. And that's exactly what I am doing. Amen. He said, you will need somebody to introduce you one day. You go to a place that nobody knows you. Or people don't know who you are. One day we were going to have a wedding in the Bronx, and a member of our church, and they were married in the Bronx. And then Pastor Mephu, God bless him, you know, he's of blessed memory. He was the host church where we were having the wedding. And Apostle John was going to officiate the wedding. So as I was sitting by Pastor Mephu, he said, you know what, when you get up there to introduce Apostle, make sure you introduce him properly. A lot of people around here don't know who he is. Amen. So as I was getting ready to introduce Apostle, you all jumped. Like today, what I did, Brother Johnny didn't get a chance to introduce me. I just jumped up there. Amen. If you are introduced in a certain way, people receive you a certain way. Amen. Why was it necessary for Jesus to go to be baptized, to lay an example for us? And when Jesus went to John for baptism, what did John say? He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold. He said, I, John, you may think I am great. But he said, I am not even worthy to do what? To untie the lace of his shoes. But the main guy is coming. His name is Jesus. He's the main guy. Amen.
Amen.
And then he went on to say that he would increase and I would decrease. Are you there?
Yeah.
Now, this is what he's doing here. He said, of his fullness, of the fullness of Jesus, have we all received and grace for grace. Add verse 17. For the law was given by who?
Moses.
But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist is giving us an example and a model that sometimes God can supernaturally bless someone and load them with certain benefits out of whom many other people are going to be touched. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he said, of his grace have we all received. And we can also say that about Bishop Doug, that of the grace of God, one person's obedience. Amen. One person's obedience has birthed over 3,000 churches worldwide.
Amen.
Amen. Is that a good thing or a great thing? Yeah. And we need to acknowledge it and we need to honor the person. It's not, we are not doing anything out of the ordinary. He says that honor your father and your mother. He is our spiritual father. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, put your hands together unto the Lord. These are secret. You see, one day in this church, a young lady brought me an offering. That young lady is a student. I didn't even want to take the offering. But I know, because I know the family, I could tell that this young lady, the offering that she's bringing, it is because she has a very spiritual father who most likely said, bless Reverend with a gift. Nobody told me anything, but I could tell that she's getting tutoring. From somebody like her father. Amen.
Amen.
Because unless somebody teaches you to do this spiritual thing, it's not natural for you to take your hard-earned money. Amen. Some of you have not even slept since you worked last night, but you have carried yourself here. Amen. You are doing very well. Put your hands together for yourselves.
Amen.
But in America, it's not easy. People... Because they say money is blood. The dollar is like, because you see, to earn money, you work certain number of hours. Do you understand? So the hours of your life as this person is now translated into cash. So when someone is giving you cash, it's hours of their life they have burnt. Amen. If somebody gives you a dollar, you better thank them. Amen. Hallelujah. So all I am doing is that I am trying to orient our thinking that honoring a man of God, honoring our spiritual father, is one of the good things that we must do as part of our Christian upbringing and as part of our Christian experience. If somebody doesn't teach you, it's like, you know, if you are raised a certain way. See, one day I brought my case to my workplace, and they were interacting with the case of another co-worker. And then when everything was over, my boss came to me. He said, you know, he said, your case and this other guy's case, the way they get along and the way they were related with each other, I think it's very wonderful. And I commend both yourself and the other co-worker for how you have brought up your kids. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Because if your kids misbehave outside, people are going to ask, who trained you? Where did you come out from? Did you come out from a pit somewhere? It's always so. It is my duty as your pastor to teach you spiritual truths and realities, which may not be the best topic to preach about on a day like this. But if I don't teach you and you don't grow up knowing how to do these things, it is like a parent who only feeds their children with lollipops and candy. Amen. But by the grace of God, we are not going to do that here.
Amen.
Oh, put your hands together unto the Lord. Now, we talk about how do you honor your spiritual father. Number one, honor your spiritual father. Number two, accept the will of your father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Accept the will of your father. If someone is your father, then their opinion matters. Amen.
Amen.
Even in this house, even though we are in America, we don't encourage people to get married without the blessing of their parents. Even though we live in America with American culture, you can get somebody, run to Las Vegas and get married and nobody knows about it. We don't encourage that. We think that you need the blessing of your father and your mother.
Amen.
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 Yes. So, if you're going to do something and your mother says, don't rush and walk over her and go and do it. If you're going to do something and your father has some reservations, think about it very carefully. He said, in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Jesus was teaching us that the will of our Father in heaven must happen on earth. And it was a pattern and a model for us that if you have a father, Malachi chapter 1 verse 6, if I be a father, where is my honor? One of the ways you honor your father is that you let their will prevail over your will.
Amen.
We talked about that last week. How Jesus let the will of his father prevail over his own will. Because a little, last time you were trying to sew something with a needle and it pinched you a little, the whole neighborhood heard about it. When you shed a little blood with a little pin of your needle, the whole neighborhood heard about it. In fact, you went to the workplace and then you are showing it to everybody, you have a needle and a little blood came out. So think about somebody who is bleeding to death. Amen. Are you listening to me? So it wasn't a small thing for Jesus to be willing to accept that. Look, if you say so, I will do it. Amen.
Amen.
And so one of the things that as we are honoring Bishop, we are also teaching about how to relate with fathers. That you must know that in some situations, what you wish and what your father wishes is not what you wish. But then you do because it's your father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Next one, in the Lord's Prayer, it says that what? That will be done on earth. What's the next one? As it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. God is the one who provides our daily bread. The Father provides bread. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, in the sense of practically being on earth, the Bible calls Jesus our chief shepherd. But then he has appointed under shepherds who operate under him as the chief shepherd. Amen. And Bishop Dad is the shepherd of Lighthouse Chapel International. Amen.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? So one brother Johnny was talking about the podcast. I said, this is a good example I can use on this point. Because you see, one of the things that a member of the church must have is that you must have bread. You must eat bread being shared in the house.
Amen.
How is it that you are in this house? You never participate in anything we cook here. Amen. If your child never eats in the house, Madam C. Use breakfast time, Reggie says, I'm full. Lunch time, Reggie says, I won't eat. Dinner time, you will be, as a mother, you'll be worried.
Would you not be worried? Because if the person, an example is coming in my head. I think I'll finish this point and I'll raise that example. A very powerful example is coming. So you begin to wonder, why is he not eating? Is he sick? Well, that's one reason why a child will not be eating if they are sick. Is that also? What would be another reason? They've been eating chips. You have good quality food. You have cooked food, nutritious food, but they have filled their belly with chips and juice, soda, yes. And so they say they are full, but they are not really full. And you'll be worried about it. Hallelujah. Before I apply it to the podcast, let me chip this one in. So you'll be wondering, has he been eating elsewhere? Has he been eating elsewhere? Now, if in the terms, in the arena of marriage, if your spouse, you and your spouse, let's start with the woman first. Let's start with the woman. As a woman, the man never expresses interest in coming near you. For how many months? 6 months now, he has not even made an approach or anything. Would you not be worried? You'll be, if as a man, how does he survive? You'll be asking yourself, has he been eating somewhere?
Yeah, that one. Eating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Madam said, am I saying something bad?
No.
So because you're going to wonder, but how is it possible, Brother Kweku? Yeah, is the person not going to wonder? How is it? If you wanted to be a Roman father, my friend, don't come and tell me that I take you this one to be whatever. You should have left long ago, like I left long ago. I initially wanted to be a Roman father, in case I didn't tell you. Yes, but now it's too late, Mr. Linda. It's too late. Amen. So, you begin to wonder, why is the person not eating or expressing interest in the food? Now, on the other hand too, also is a fair question to ask. That if the brother is also interested, but the woman is not interested, and it has carried on for some time, you begin to ask yourself. Like we said that if a child is not eating, it could be because they are sick. So, if the woman is not interested, it could be because she is sick. Physically, emotionally, or whatever. But the person is not sick. It's like somebody who has given child to a baby, birth to a baby, and then they say, oh, I'm not fit to come to church yet. But you see the person jumping all around town. I said, but you are healthy enough to go to town to do shopping. Why are you not in church? Why are you not in church? So the person, they are not sick. If they have the last time we saw you riding a bicycle around town. You can ride a bicycle, but you cannot ride the man. The man is going to begin to wonder, is she eating somewhere? Amen. Amen. Radiculous, what do you think? We will pick up this topic on another day. But we are talking about, you must eat the food that your father is bringing to the house. You look to your father for daily supply. Every member of the church must be interested in what Bishop Dag is preaching.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, then you're not a proper member of the church. How is it that you don't even know where he is? You don't know, right now, for instance, where is Bishop? What is he doing now?
Mozambique.
Put your hands together for yourselves. Amen. And what he's preaching now, there is something called a podcast. It's a podcast. Is a technology something that now can connect your phone, your smartphone. You see, some time ago, my co-worker laughed at me because I kept saying I was going to this place and I got lost because I had this GPS device that sometimes if you don't renew the thing, it can take you to the wrong place. Amen. Brother Alfred is laughing at me. You know that old GPS thing?
Yeah.
My co-worker said, Gilbert, why are you still using this GPS? Don't you have a smartphone? You have a smartphone. There is GPS on it. You can either use Google. So there's no point for you to get lost. And then I downloaded the Google app. So, Brother Kweku, I've never gotten lost again. Why is it that you have a smartphone which can connect you to preaching? to podcast, but you are not connected. Amen. You are not connected. And the thing is what? The good news is that it's what? Free. Ah! You see, there are many, many free and inexpensive things which, if only we knew, it will help us. See, I went for a marriage seminar somewhere in New Jersey. And one lady came to me and said, you know, Reverend Gilbert, woman to man, let me tell you something. You men, you think you have to do something expensive, something high, something that is out of this planet in order for us to be happy. She was advising me, woman to man. He said, a lot of the times, all we are asking for is something small, something, just a little gesture that you care. It won't cost you a whole lot, but you can reap a lot of benefits. Okay. She said, if you are willing to do that, she said, if you are willing to do just a little bit, he said, we will give our whole self to you. Put your hands together unto the Lord. So it will not cost you much, but you can benefit from the podcast. If you need help with the podcast, you can talk to Brother Nicholas, who is now the certified. Yes, and then all the other people who can help you connect. But you are missing out big time if you are not on the podcast. Amen. This month is what? Worldwide Podcast Month. And we want 100%. So a time will come, I will be on an inspection tour. Like, I say, Sister Eunice, can I see your phone? Then I'll be looking for whether you have the podcast. If you don't have it, like yesterday, a certain lady, I don't want to look where she's sitting. A certain lady, I sent you a text, you never responded. I'm looking somewhere so that there will be no one who can suspect. I sent you a text, you never replied. And then she said, oh, I never got it. Then I pulled up my phone. Then I went to the text. I said, look at it. And you know how when you send a text, sometimes it says delivered. Because sometimes some tests don't go. This one said delivered. So how come you never got it? I said, you know what? If you never got it, let's go into your phone. Let's go into your phone and then let's look for my name in your phone. Are you getting it? Because, and then pretend you are sending me a text. When you click it, what I sent to you will be there. My brother, my sister, we went there and the person did not have my phone number as a contact. Hey! You don't have my phone. Also, because I knew we have communicated before. And so she should have it. But somehow it got deleted. And so I discovered that there is a person who is a dear somebody to me in this church does not even have my number. And if when you don't have somebody's number, when you don't have somebody's number and you get a random test, chances are that you ignore it. Yes. Is it possible that in as much as I discovered yesterday that this person did not have my contact number, is it possible that you are a member of this Lighthouse Chapel International of Jesus Christ, that you don't have the podcast? We will inspect it one day. Amen. Put your hands together unto the Lord. Rise up to your feet. Commit yourself to God. Let's pray. We thank you, Jesus. We appreciate you. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are all together beautiful and wonderful. Let's pray and ask God to help us to be truly connected. Now, if you are here and you haven't taken the steps to become a believer, we want to urge you to be a born-again person. Thank you, Jesus. You've never actually given your heart to Jesus. You've never actually done that. Or maybe you've done that in the past, but you've broken away from relationship with God. You are not too confident where you stand before God. God today is your savior, but one day he will be your judge. But he wants to give you the opportunity to reconcile by accepting his forgiveness. If you are that person, lift up your right hand. Every believer, bow down your head. And let us all pray. We are all in this together. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Now pray after me. Thank you, my Savior, for your mercy, for your grace. I stand at the foot of the cross and I apply the blood of Jesus. I place my faith in Jesus that he died for me, for the washing away of my sins. I believe he rose from the dead in order to justify me. Now give me your grace to stay connected, to walk in your grace and in your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to have communion. Take your seats.